this song, brother, right here? We got this? Yeah, baby, come on now. Praise God. Yeah. Well, hey, when you come to chapel at Hiles Anderson College, you know what time it is, baby. It's preaching time. Hallelujah. That's right. Well, it's good to see that the spirit of the college is still the same. And my goodness, I appreciate, I appreciate the warm, all right, just yell random things, cool. I appreciate the warm welcome today, and good to be back home, away from home, to see all my co-laborers and those that have been here and paved the way for the gospel ministry and for your training for the gospel ministry. And good to see Brother Callen, man, I love you. He told me this morning, he said, I haven't stopped praying for Sammy, Sophia, and Israel, and I told him to add another name, Isabella. You know how Hispanics are, praise God. We have a baby every year, praise the Lord. So thank you, Brother Callen, man. I appreciate that. And my goodness, I appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Douglas, for that introduction, brother. God has been good to us. And I think all of us can testify that the Lord has been good, amen? The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And God has been very good to us. Man, two brothers were talking one time in church. And I got to tell you something before I hop into the message, all right? Two brothers were talking one time in church, and there was a brother from Nigeria, and the other brother was from Great Britain. And these guys were having a conversation, and the brother from Nigeria was telling the guy from Great Britain, he said, listen, man, when we get to heaven, we're going to see that God's skin is olive, man. He's got feet like brass, hair like wool, Brother Martinez. Listen, God, Jesus is black, you know? And white guy's looking at him and said, nah, man, you got it all twisted, man. No, man, he's white, man. You know, white people like to tan their skin, you know what I mean? And black people try to bleach it sometimes, you know? That's crazy. But he said, listen, man, God, Jesus is white. He says, no, he's black. Man, they both died and went to heaven, and they're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus says these words, buenos dias. Praise God. Come on, baby. That's right. Buenos dias. Oh, man, you know that the scripture is true. The Bible says he comes as a thief in the night. And so that's, yeah, now all these racist white Christians are going to be telling this to their black friends, you know, be quiet, man. But, man, I can't tell you how much it means to me to be back in this place. And, you know, the Lord really allowed me to grow as a Bible student here at Hiles Anderson College, you know. And this is where I got my master's degree, really. I came here to teach the Bible, but in reality, you taught me while I was here. And God allowed me to grow in my Christian walk with the Lord. This is a very special place to me. One of the hardest decisions I had to make in my life, and I had to make it swiftly, was to leave this place and really go a place where there was no work of God being done. A place that was destroyed, a place that because of sin, many of the sheep were scattered. And listen, in the last 2 years, Brother Martinez, I know you're here, and other pastors, Brother Oxidine, and I can't tell you how much God has worked in Iglesia Bautista Libertad, the Newport Beach. God has been so good to us. And several people have been saved, most of them been baptized, and we're trying to disciple them and nurture them in the Word of God. But listen, young people, I'm so thrilled that I get to speak to you today. Please take your Bibles and go to Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter number 14. Mark chapter number 14. And I want us to look at verses 3 through 9 this morning. Mark chapter number 14 and verses 3 through 9. I will not preach long today. I know that we have a games going on. And I want the Lord to speak to us today. I've been praying about this for a couple weeks, and I want the Lord to help us today. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 3, the Bible says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. Verse number 4, let's read it together. Ready, begin. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. Verse number 6, and Jesus said, let her alone. I shall be for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do good to them. But me ye have not always. Verse 8, ready, begin. Then all on verse number 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And the text this morning that the Holy Spirit, I believe, wants to apply to our lives is found in verse number 8. Look what the Bible says. She hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. Well, we ask the Lord today, not out of ritual or tradition, but let's ask God to speak to us. And do not allow the devil or your flesh to rob what God wants to say to you today. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, once again, we appreciate, God, the privilege it is to meet in chapel. God, I remember so vividly, Lord, being in this place. And even in Christian school and in college, so many chapel services, so many messages preached. Lord, I ask that today it could be a phrase, or it could be the Holy Spirit that will say something to someone's heart. God, that you would help us, God, and strengthen us in our walk with God. We need you, Lord. You know, God, that I can only be used, God, if it pleases you. So I would ask, Lord, Holy Ghost, that you take my mind, and Holy Spirit, you take my mouth and my tongue, most of all, my heart. God, please allow me to please you in this message. Lord, give me wisdom to say what you want me to say, and give me wisdom to omit that which doesn't please you. God, I only seek to do your will this morning. Thank you, God, for all the years that you've used this place to train servants to go into the ministry. Lord, I ask that you would do it over and over and over again, that the whole world could hear about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us today. I do love you, God, and it's only because you first loved me. Thank you for allowing me to be here. In the name of my best friend, Jesus Christ, I ask you these things. Amen. Something interesting happens when Jesus comes to Jerusalem. Jesus told his disciples to go to a nearby village, and he says to untie a colt, a donkey, and I want you to bring him to me because the Lord hath need of him. And if they ask you, what's the reason why you're taking this donkey and you're taking this colt, I want you to tell them simply that the Lord has need of him. It's interesting that God does not ride through Jerusalem on a great white horse. You would think because he is Christ, because he is Jesus, because he is indeed the sinless Son of God, without blemish, without wrinkle, no iniquity or no sin at all, you would think that Christ would ride through Jerusalem on a great white horse. But he chooses a colt. He tells his disciples to get the base stains, to get those stains which are despised, 1 Corinthians tells us. For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble, not many mighty. But God hath chosen the base things of the world. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world. The apostle said it right. He says, when I am weak, then he is strong. God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I want to say this morning that the grace of God is indeed sufficient for us today. It's interesting that God wanted to use something that was so low, something that was so weak, something that wasn't glamorous, something that was really common in those days, just a colt. But the truth was, is that Jesus back then had need of him, and Jesus today has need of vessels that are willing to be used of God. You see, this is the reason why many of you have enlisted into Hiles Anderson College, because the Lord hath need of you. This dying world is tired of seeing fake Christianity. This dying world is tired of seeing those that are following after the flesh and those that are following after fornication and those that are following after financial success. This world needs to see authentic, transparent, genuine Christian service. A Christ-like service that is yielded to the call of the Master. I'm glad today that God has given me the privilege to preach in an institution that is still training servants who have yielded to the call of God. Why? Because the Lord hath need of you. Over 8 billion people in this world, and all of them are living without hope. All of them are living without the dawn of a new day. And who can change their hope? Who can change their gloom? Who can take their darkness and make it light? Who can take them out of bondage and give them freedom? Who can preach to them the glad tidings of the Lord Jesus Christ? I say that the answer for America, and the answer for Europe, and the answer for Asia, and the answer for Cambodia, and yea, to the regions beyond, is sitting in the room today at Hiles Anderson College. Hey, I just want to say to the freshman this morning, I just want to say to the sophomore this morning, I want to say to the junior and the senior and the master students and the pastors in the ministry and even the preacher, hey, I'm glad that this morning the Lord still has need of us. Oh, yeah. This is a beautiful story. Anytime Jesus showed up, you know there was food, because Jesus was a Baptist, praise God, that's right. Baptist buffet going on, my brother Aaron. And here they're sitting at meat again. This is not the first time, Sister Gayona, that Jesus is in the midst of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. That's right, Sister Gayona used to be my teacher, okay? We got a connection going on, okay? That's right. Now she comes into Simon the leper's house. Room is filled with the disciples. They're sitting at meat. And after they're done eating, in my mind's eye, I see something very astonishing, something that's very surprising. And I want you to look at the story. First off, I want you to notice the woman's offering. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. Mark 14 in verse number 3. The Bible says, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat," the Bible says, "there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it over his head." I see that this woman had something to offer Jesus. I want you to notice that this is an offering of adoration. You see, the Bible says that this box and the contents therein were of spikenard. And this is an aroma. This is the plant that, when it is broken, releases a beautiful aroma. John tells us in his gospel that Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. America's leading candle company is Yankee Candle. Any Yankee Candle fans out there? All right, all girls, no guys, okay, all right? You guys raise your hand, you need a hormone check. Praise God. All right, here it is. There's two things that any guy cannot like. You cannot like cats. Praise the Lord, all right? All dogs go to heaven and all cats go to hell. That's right, okay. And you cannot have candles. You cannot love candles. Okay, here it is. Yankee Candles, the leading candle distributor in the United States of America. And they said that their objective is creating fragrance that make your home inviting, a fragrance that makes it inviting. For family gatherings, friend drop-ins, and holidays, make them memorable. Making opportunities throughout the year to connect with friends and family, and a fragrance that is very welcoming, and a fragrance that you can remember. Fragrance kind of fills up the house. Everybody remembers what mama's cooking smells like. It fills up the house. Everyone remembers what that candle and that scent smells like, because it fills the house. And right here, this woman comes to Jesus in adoration, some spikenard, and when she broke the box, that aroma began to fill the house. Can I tell you that the Bible says in Psalm 22:3, the Bible says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Psalm 100, would you turn there very quickly? I want you to see it. Psalm 100, a very familiar passage of scripture. The Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." What does verse 3 say? Read it together. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Now look at verse 4. This is key. "Enter into his gates with" what? "Thanksgiving." And if you want to get a little further, "enter into his courts" with what? with praise. Be thankful unto him and what? Bless his name. For the Lord is what? Good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Can I just say, there's a reason why we stand up and we sing at every beginning of the chapel service. It's not just to begin chapel, but it is to come into the presence of Almighty God. And there's a reason why we have choirs and we have specials in church. They're not for us. Yes, we ought to admonish one another. But the reason that we sing these praises, and the reason that we raise our hands, and the reason that we stomp our feet, and the reason, even my brother Martinez, that we preach, is so God can get a little bit of adoration, and the Spirit of God would fall on this place, and the Spirit of God would fall in your dorm room, and the Spirit of God would fall on your bus route. Did it ever ponder in your mind that you can stop throughout your day, fall on your knees, and offer Jesus a little bit of adoration? Why? Because he's the king, my friend. Offer him adoration. Why? Because of who he is. Who is he? He's the sinless, spotless Son of God. The Bible says we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but what is in all points tempted as ye are, and yet without sin. Worship him in the beauty of holiness. Worship him. Adore him, because he's Jesus. Praise God. Oh, not only was it an offering of adoration, but notice, it is an offering of abandonment. Look what the Bible says in Mark 14 and verse 3. The Bible says, and being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. What did she do with the box? Let's read the next five words together. Ready, begin. And she what? A little bit louder. And she what? Now, some people, theologians, were pondering, was it necessary for this box to be broken? I mean, this would be like having a glass of water, a glass bottle of water, and instead of opening at the top, you just break it. See, I see here that this box could not contain anything else. This box was meant to carry that ointment. See, it was a spirit of abandonment. She broke the box. She wanted Jesus and the rest of them to understand that this box was not meant for you, Peter. This box is not meant for you, John. This box is not meant for you, Matthew. This praise and adoration that I'm doing here is not for me. But when I break this box, what I am saying is that there's no turning back. It is broken into pieces. The Bible says in Colossians 3:23, just listen. He says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. You know what you're singing there? Is that when you come to Christ, you are giving him the box, and it's a spirit of abandonment. You are breaking that box. No turning back, no turning back. Hey, though no one join me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me, still I will follow. Hey, shall I turn back into this world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Shall I turn back to the deceitfulness of riches? Oh no, not I, Jesus. Once you have enlisted me into the service of the King, I will never turn my back to you, Jesus. I will serve you to the end of days. Praise God. And if I had 10,000 lives to live for Jesus, may every day, may every minute, may every second be for the glory of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. It is on crushed grain that man is fed. It is by bruised plants that he is restored to health. It was by broken pitchers that Gideon triumphed. It was from wasted barrel and empty crews that the prophet was sustained. It was on boards and broken pieces of the ship that Paul and his companions were saved. It was amid the fragments of a broken humanity that the promise of a higher life was given. Though not a bone in him was broken, yet it is by his broken life that we shall live eternally. Come with me and come to a lowly manger as Jesus Christ is born of a virgin. Come with me and go to a temple as he's sitting there and they're asking questions of him and they are astonished at his questions and at his answers. Come with me as he lives a sinless life. Come with me as he begins to authenticate his deity and he turns the water into wine and he raises Lazarus from the dead and he touches the eyes of the blind and all the apostles and all the disciples are amazed at the work of Jesus' hands. Hey, come with me as he's in the garden and he's sweating great drops of blood. Come with me that he which would betray him would give him a kiss for 30 pieces of silver. Hey, come with me as he's carrying his cross up to the place of the skull. And when he gets there, there's already two crosses there. Oh, there's malefactors. There's thieves there. Come with me as one of them says, if you are Jesus, if you're Christ, then remember me when you establish your kingdom. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Come with me as he shouts, I thirst. Come with me as he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? Hey, come with me as Jesus cries, it is finished, and God gives up the ghost. Come with me as he goes to the other side and he offers the blood on the mercy seat once and for all. Come with me when on Sunday morning the grave began to shake and Jesus rose from the grave. Hey, I just want to say, woo, yeah, I want to say that Jesus Christ was broken for me, and out of his brokenness I can be healed. Oh yes, oh yes. It was a spirit of abandonment. Oh, I gotta break this box. This box belongs to Jesus. Oh, I want to say, listen to me, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your dreams belong to Jesus. Your bodies belong to Jesus. Your marriage belongs to Jesus. Those of you that are getting married and will get married, your marriage belongs to Jesus. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Your children that God will give you belong to Jesus. And that ministry that God will give you to work with God and labor with God, that's not your youth group. That's Jesus' youth group. That's not your church. That's Jesus' church. Hey, I just want to say, this world, these people, everything that God has called us to do belongs to him. Praise God. Oh, this is the spirit of an offering of abandonment. I just want you to say this. See this, not only was it an offering of abandonment, but it was an offering of anointing. Look at verse number 3. Look at verse number 3. And being in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, with spikenard, very precious. She broke the box, and what did she do, Hiles? She poured it, what? She poured it on his head. Jesus had come through Jerusalem, and the people shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us, save us. But no one had taken the time to anoint him king. You see, the Jews were seeking a political king. They were seeking someone who would establish and set the kingdom of Jerusalem. And Jesus did not come to establish a political kingdom. Jesus came to establish a spiritual kingdom. That's what he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Psalm 24, the Bible says this, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Oh, Jesus Christ is King. And when she brought this box, she said, listen, I will anoint him. I will let everyone in the room know that I believe that he is king. And though this world would deny the very presence of Jesus, and though the fool would say in his heart that there is no God, and though all of Hollywood would shout against anything that has to do with Christ and Jesus, and everybody on CNN is liberal and blaming the Bible, blaming Christ, blaming Christians for what happens in this world, and though wicked women like Oprah Winfrey would stand up and deny the very presence of Jesus, and though Joel Osteen will get on Larry King Live and deny that there is a hell and that only salvation will come through Jesus Christ, I just want to say that there is a remnant today that stands up and we hail proclaimly, boldly from the word of God, Jesus is King. Oh, the women's offering. I hasten, look at number two. Not only do we see the women's offering, but we see, in quotations, the wasted ointment. The wasted ointment. Look what the Bible says in Mark 14 in verse number 4. Mark 14 in verse number 4. The Bible says, and there were some that had what? Speak to me. There were some that had what?
Indignation.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Brother Preston, was she doing a good work on Jesus? Yes or no? Was this something good that she was doing, Hiles Anderson? Yes or no? Absolutely. And so you would think that those that are among us, this is not the unsaved that had indignation in themselves. Look at me, look at me. This is not the world that had indignation. These are other brothers and sisters in Christ that had indignation. You see, the Bible says they had indignation within themselves. And here's the question. Why was this waste of the ointment made? Look at verse number 5. Let's read it together, all together. Ready? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. Can I just say that anytime you seek to do something, something that's monumental for the cause of Christ, listen, anytime you seek to do something miraculous, something that's sacrificial for the cause of Christ, you can expect opposition not from without, but you can expect opposition from within. Oh, I wish I could tell you it was different. But some of you have aspirations, and God has told you that you're going to take your box and you're going to offer it to the Lord, and you're going to immediately confront. You'll immediately have opposition. You'll have to face criticism. Well, who does she think she is? Who does he think he is? Does he think that God can use him? Who does she think she is? Does she really feel like God's going to use her on a mission field? And you can expect not opposition from without, but from within. Criticism, they didn't understand. Not only criticism, but look at the cost. The Bible says, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. You see, I will not offer to the Lord something that doesn't cost me anything. Can I just say, yes, his burden is light. Yes, his burden is light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. But listen, the Apostle Paul told Brother Timothy, hey, look at me, look at me. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I just want to say today, if you are here and it's hard and you're trying to pay your bill and you're trying to go to work and it seems like all hell is against you, it seems like your roommates are against you, it seems like home and people back home or family are against you, and they say, man, this is a high cost that you're willing to pay, I just want to say that it is not in vain that you are here trying to do what God has called you to do. It is not in vain to study for the gospel ministry. It is not in vain to try one day to establish a church and plant a church where the gospel has not been preached. It is not in vain to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not in vain to live a pure life, to be separated, consecrated for the master's use. I just want to say there are those that are going to oppose you within. Yes. During World War II, a young soldier named David Webster of the East Company of the 101st Airborne wrote to his mother. Listen to what he said. Stop worrying about me, mother. Don't worry about me, mother. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight. If necessary, I shall die fighting. Don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice. Only by sacrifice. Oh, I wish I could tell you that the ministry is just blue skies and red roses. Oh, it's the greatest life that God could have ever given me. I love what God has called me to do. But I'm going to tell you, young ladies, listen to me. You get married to a man of God, you support that man of God, because there's coming dark days in the ministry. There's coming days of insecurity. There's coming days of being betrayed. There's coming days when God will even touch your own family for his cause. There's coming days when you'll doubt and say, God, are you with me anymore? There's coming days that you'll think it's not worth it. I just want to say, don't worry about me, because no war can be won without young men and young ladies dying. And I want to say that there's so many precious souls out in this world, and they need young people who are willing to die on a battlefield for the glory of God. They need you to say, I will overcome this tragedy. I will overcome this hurdle. I will graduate. I will walk purely. I will get married. I will preach the gospel. I will do what God has called me to do. Praise God. Oh, to many, this will be a waste. What are you doing, girl? Are you wasting your life at Hiles Anderson College? Hey, come on, bro. Are you wasting your life at Hiles Anderson College? You're not even accredited. Not even recognized by the world. How are you going to make money? How are you going to survive? You're a brilliant mind. Drop out of this place. Go to a state university and live the American dream. Are these not thoughts that come to your mind sometimes? Do not all the demons of hell whisper in your ears sometimes when you're in the solitude of your dorm room? Do not those in the world not understand the sacrifice and commitment that every servant of God has made to the King? No one understands this, but some will say, you're wasting your life. I went to his house about a year ago. His daughter rode our buses. What a beautiful girl she is. She's 8 years old. She came to me after church one day, Brother Martinez. She said, Pastor, Pastor, ore por mi papi. Pray for my dad. Ore por mi papi. Es borracho. Pray for my dad. He's a drunk. Pastor, ore por mi mamá. Nunca la veo. I never see my mom. Pray for my mom and dad. Oh, Pastor, pray for them. I took this little girl by the hand and we began to pray. Let's pray that God would do something, sweetheart. And in my heart, I said, God, please begin to do something in there that only you can explain. Please, God, grab a hold of his heart. Please, God, would you please arrest her mama's heart? Oh, God, if you do something here, God, this little girl's faith would be so much increased. And we began to pray. I'd hold her hand on church on Sundays, and we began to pray. Brother Callens, we were going to pray for her papa. We began to pray for her mama. God, would you please get a hold of their heart? Oh, Pastor, Pastor, ora por mi papi. No es salvo, toma mucho. And I come by the house and knock on the door, and he'd see me, and he'd close the door and cuss me out. And I come sometimes on Tuesday night, try to catch him off guard, and he'd close the door and cuss me out. And I come several times on Saturday just to let them know that we love her daughter. We're praying for them. We love them. And I dropped groceries off and went by, wrote notes and called them, say, hey, I don't want you to feel pressure. I just want you to know that if you ever need help, if we could ever be a blessing to you, there's a church in Newport Beach that loves your family and loves your daughter. And they would say, oh my goodness, don't come by here anymore. Stop it. Father's Day 2017. Here comes a little girl. This time she had two people with her. She had her mama, and she had her daddy with her. And I began to look as I stood there at the pulpit. And tears began to fall down my cheeks. And I began to give God the glory before the service. I mean, I had a Baptist fit right there, baby. I almost began to run around the room and just slapping people on the back of the head. You ever feel like slapping people back of the head? That's all right. I mean, I felt good, Brother Martinez. Oh, why did you feel good? Because almost 25 years ago, God called me to preach. Almost 25 years ago, And the backside right there of east side of Long Beach, 27 and a half B, they're in a ghetto full of crime. They're in a ghetto full of drugs. They're in a ghetto full of gangs. God put his hand on the most unworthy ghetto boy and said, I want to use you. And at that time, I thought the answer was money because we were growing up in poverty. At the time, I thought the answer was a business or success so I can take my mama and my sister out the hood. At the time, I really thought that I should do something like that. And I yielded to God 25 years ago, not knowing that in 25 years there would be people in Santa Ana, California. There would be people in Tustin, California. There would be people, my friend, in Costa Mesa, California, Hispanics that are dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. And that there would be a little girl that would come to our church and say, Pastor, ore por mi papi, porque es borracho. And that day, her daddy come and her mama come, and they both were saved by the grace of God, and I baptized him, and to this day they're in church walking with God. God has made a difference. God has established his kingdom. Why? Because it's not a waste. Oh, it's not a waste. It's not a waste. Stand, please, today. Please stand.